If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56david.com. Atlantic Coast Mortgage, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS 643-114.
Welcome to the relaunch of the Career Conversations podcast with Michael Piff. This is formerly the Career Vision podcast, but we are bringing it back and hoping to do this on a weekly basis. And the whole goal of it is to talk to professionals about where they've been, what they did along the way, and what they're doing now, lessons they've learned, and hoping that we can hopefully reach somebody who is looking to get into the job market or looking to get a new job or make a career change in some sort of way, and to get some lessons from these professionals that we're talking to. And to help me relaunch this podcast, I've actually been thinking about this for months, Tony, and I know I just reached out to you like 2 weeks ago. Tony Gill, content creator, who's been in the Chicago media scene really for over a decade. How does that feel?
Old. Like whenever somebody mentions over a decade.
Over
like,
a decade.
Oh my goodness. I guess I have.
You've been doing it for a long time, though. And we'll get into the resume in a little bit here. But we start every one of these, if you've listened to us for the past year, with an easy question. Really not a question, but a shout out to your high school.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I went to two. I graduated from one. Obviously, I have my high school diploma, if anybody is
for anyone
worried.
Checking his right. LinkedIn. Yeah,
I have my high school diploma. I graduated from Revis High School.
Yeah,
in Burbank, Illinois. It's a tiny town in between like Summit and Chicago and Bridgeview, and Oak Lawn.
Nice.
Kind of like the surrounding areas. My parents are still there. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I return often. I also have to shout out the 1 year that I had, because it's the most important. It turns out to be the most important year of my life. Whitney Young.
Really?
I went to Whitney Young freshman year, met my wife there.
You guys go that far back?
Oh, yeah. I met my wife. We had one class together on the 1 year I went there.
Wow.
So I knew it had to be divine that we had met. We had one class together. We sat next to each other, and I never forgot her. But we lost contact after I left for, again, another 10-plus years. and then we linked up on Bumble. And
okay.
It was like we never left. And then now we are married and have two children.
See, Bumble's going to hear this and be like, we're going to need to use that for an ad.
I reached out to Bumble to help pay for a wedding. I'm like, hey, you can do content here. And nobody got back.
That's a really good idea, though.
Yeah.
Dropping the ball, Bumble. Come on. So what were you like in high school?
Oh, I was self-absorbed.
Me too. Very much.
And I'm so glad that I didn't stay there for my wife to see that.
You had growing to do,
fruition.
Right?
I had a lot of growing to do. It was a growing time, and I was obsessed with basketball. That's all I wanted to do. And those dreams were crushed when I didn't make Whitney Young's team. There was a lot of factors there. I mean, it's a program,
yeah.
Like a college run program.
The program.
So
yeah.
If you're not really in with the coaches there, then you're going to have a rough time unless you're, 6'10", with a 30-plus inch vertical. So, but that kind of changed a lot for me. It's like, hey,
yeah.
Basketball isn't everything. I'm going to have to, build my identity elsewhere.
What were you at that time? What were you hoping to do with a career? Since basketball was behind you a little bit, what did you want to do?
That was a great question. I didn't know. I transferred from there and then ended up playing basketball for 3 years at Revis High School. But I didn't know what I wanted to be or what I wanted to do when I grew up. I knew I liked sports. And I can like put things together. So I got into computer networking.
Yeah.
Went to Robert Morris, the now defunct Robert Morris University.
Sky Point.
Yeah. And, I knew instantly like, wow, like this is not for me. Like the first year of college,
really?
I was like, this is not what I want to do in my life.
Where did the kind of, I guess the media bug kind of, bite you?
Probably like halfway through my second year of college, where I listen to 670 The Score all the time,
yeah.
Every day, my whole life. I grew up on it. So I knew I wanted to do something in that vein, but I didn't know how to get there. Mm-hmm. It was only, you know, maybe 2 or 3 years after that, where, you know, I got my associates and then I just went to work, worked at a clinic. And, you know, again, still listening to the radio every day. And then I heard a commercial for the Illinois Media School. And that kind of clicked on. I'm like, hey, this is possible.
Yeah.
And I knew that with my sense of passion and fire that, hey, I can intern there and mm-hmm. I could possibly work there. I just need somebody to show me the buttons. I can learn the buttons.
Yeah.
But like I can outwork and work really, really hard to get to where I need to be. And that's kind of how I ended up working out.
Yeah. So you were a producer at 670 The Score.
Yep.
How long were you there for?
I was there for about 4.5 years.
Yeah.
But that's not including interning. So I interned probably a year before that.
Interning definitely counts.
Yeah.
Especially at that place. Yeah. I mean, they really – and I remember I was even just a promotions intern. Mm-hmm. But they put you to work.
Yeah.
And they also – I mean, this is going back a long ways, but they looked out for their interns too because they mm-hmm. – I think a lot of the people there – understood that you have to start somewhere if this is like your passion.
Mm-hmm.
So like, they're going to put you to work, mm-hmm. but they also want to teach you along the way.
Yeah, they took pride mm-hmm. in growing talent and having a fertile breeding ground for people to grow and have their ties to. Like, not many businesses want to do that.
That's
now.
True, though.
And of course, I know the, you know, laws and things have changed in regards to internships, but I value mine greatly. So,
and who are some folks that you attribute to the growing process and the things that you learned and mm-hmm. developed over that time? We're all about shout outs.
It's so many people.
Yeah.
Well, first and foremost, Brendan McCaffrey, who is now working at SiriusXM NFL. In New Jersey and New York, he is a pivotal. If he doesn't respond to my email, like I just cold emailed him the first week that I started Illinois Media School.
Really?
I reached out and it wasn't a requirement to intern until on the back half mm-hmm. of your schooling there. The first week I was like, give me an email. And they say, yeah, Brendan, you know, we know Brendan. So I emailed him, like, hey, I want to intern there. And he got back to me. I'm like, yeah, let's set up an interview. And then he guided me through this entire process of what the business is like.
Wow.
From the ground up. I had known nothing. Again, I had no schooling yet. So I got most of my training live in a radio station.
Like throwing out the deep end, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, hey, this is what it is. This is what it means to be a professional, in Chicago, in the third largest market. This is what it takes if you want to work here.
But that also says a lot for the taking the first step of just reaching out first. Cause he mm-hmm. probably saw that as, well, this is already a person has, you know, is taking the initiative mm-hmm. and wants to do it.
Yeah.
That's a great first step in that regard. I'm going to be jumping all over the place here
because
and we already, you know, you mentioned a little bit about, you know, putting in a lot of work and everything like mm-hmm. that. And I mentioned you're kind of, I mean, you probably don't believe it, but in my eyes, I think you're one of the most accomplished people I know in this business. I'm not kidding. I know. You're probably as bad with compliments as
I am. I'm terrible.
But one of the reasons that, one, I wanted to relaunch this podcast, and two, the first person I want to talk to about this was you because of with your Bleacher Theology newsletter mm-hmm. that you do. You wrote this piece on work becoming your idol.
Yeah.
And it was the headline that already grabbed me at first because, like, mm-hmm. I already know what this feels like.
Yeah.
Before we kind of dive into it all, tell our listeners first about Bleacher Theology, which mm-hmm. I know was a passion project of yours.
Yeah.
And you're doing a great job with it, too.
Wow, thank
I just
want
to tell you right now, but kind of explain it to our listeners right now.
Yeah. So, you know, after, you know, being let go from CHGO, I really had some time to kind of figure out, like, hey, this is the opportunity to actually do something that you are, mm-hmm. That you generate, that you're really passionate about, that you have a unique angle that you can tell.
Mm-hmm.
So far in my career, it's been a lot of collaborative efforts, and I enjoy collaboration. It's I think it breeds creativity and great content. But this was kind of what do I personally have to offer to the space? Mm-hmm. And one, it was my faith, my Christian faith, and my love of sports. And the what I noticed is there's a kind of like a really strong line that separates the two when the athletes, I would say, don't necessarily allow us to separate the two. And I think that came out when my first actual piece on Jalen Johnson, that faith in sports is actually a lot closer than we think. And I know it's a very fine line of blending the two, but I thought that was because the two are so important to me that I could provide the digital space, that unique combination and just kind of perspective on sports and pop culture.
One thing I love about and I look forward to these every week. So we'll, you know, if we aren't getting into it now, we'll get to it later, how people can sign up for it. But weekly, I love seeing one, the mix of your personal experience, like what's going on with you, you know, week to week. But also you're blending that with your experience and your love of faith and worship. I don't know how you find the scripture. So I would love to know more about this process, but you are able to tie in what is going on in current events, in current sports events with scripture and your personal experience all at once. And it's a really cool read when you do that. First off, tell me, what is this? It is like a Rain Man like style, like pulling the scripture and putting it into your newsletter. That is really impressive.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't just come to the top of my head, right?
Right.
It definitely helps that, you know, at my local church, Philadelphia Church on 61st and Marshfield, that I'm a teacher as well. Yeah. So I am constantly reading and studying, reading with my wife, like reading, you know, with my family. That I'm always, you know, it's where I truly get my joy from. So it's not hard for me to read and study.
Yeah.
So I know generally the stories.
Yeah.
Then it's just going back to, well, I remember Abraham had this experience as well.
Yeah.
And then finding that scripture and then, okay, I can pull it out and
you
interpret
get the verse
well,
in there so. And everything. You do very, very well. I kind of mentioned this to you offline, like in the last couple of years or refinding my own faith, joining a church. There's definitely like a big difference with, and people have very different experiences with this when it's finding your church versus, you know, the one that you kind of grew up with. And that, like I said, that again, this is different for everybody else. But for me, it was finding one and kind of unlocking the I did need this in my life, that kind of thing. And then raising my daughter in that atmosphere, which is an outstanding atmosphere. Shout out to Faith Lutheran and Glenn Ellen. But, and then seeing you kind of just say, hey, I'm going to blend these two things together. There's a good way of making this relatable also for everyone too.
Yeah.
It's like you don't necessarily have to be, you know, Christian to really get into this and pull something from it too.
Yeah. And that, I think that was one of my wants to, you know, as well is like, I'm not going through people's lives and combing through and be like, you're wrong.
Right.
You know, that's not what this is for. This is to just introduce people.
Yeah.
That aren't necessarily into faith to give them a insight into what a biblical Christian worldview views sports and views the things that are happening in pop culture with grace and truth together. Because as believers, that's what we're called to do is present grace with gentleness and kindness and understanding. So
you nailed it with the grace. Like that is exactly kind of how I feel about it. And or for people who, you know, are practicing but maybe haven't been comfortable talking about it, here's a cool way to talk about it. And here's a cool way to talk about it with what's going on with sports. Or here's what's going on, you know, again, with a job hunt too at the same time. And I know I kind of really got away from the point I was trying to get to, so thank you for your patience on that front. But, you know, I mentioned your resume, which, you know, you joined NBC Sports as a podcast producer. Mm-hmm. We overlapped for a year and a half. It got real crazy there right after you joined.
Because
we weren't coming
COVID
to the office after
like 2 months in.
March March 12th. I remember it because mm-hmm. that's my brother's birthday, and I had the all the – graphics I had to put out that, well, this league's canceled,
yep.
this too. And then you're there for several years, and then you become head of content at CHGO. Mm-hmm. But going back to my point about the job becoming your idol, what kind of explain to our listeners what that meant, like where it did become too much.
Yeah. So, I had wanted this so bad because I didn't have a plan B.
Mm-hmm.
All of my skill and effort and energy went into becoming good at this.
Yeah.
As a broadcaster, as a producer, as a content creator. And to a certain degree, it helped. It benefited me.
Mm-hmm.
I became executive producer of Lawrence Holmes' show. And then that successful run, I didn't even stay a year before I got hired at NBC as the podcast producer, and it was everything. It was the thing that I was passionate about. It was something that I enjoyed and loved doing every day, and I wanted to continue to grow and grow and grow in the business as much as I could because I didn't have anything else to lean on, and that was a fault of my own. I had left. I was still going to church. Mm-hmm. I was still around my family. I was still staying with my parents, but I was just completely out of the house. I was not engaged at all in mm-hmm. anything other than content. It was
locked
eat,
in, right?
Sleep, content.
Yeah.
And there's a season for that, right? For everybody to just, hey, you need to lock in and really hone your craft.
Mm-hmm.
But I ended up taking it to the second and third degree in that. And it really didn't show up until I start dating my now wife.
And when was that?
So that was 2021.
Okay.
I started dating my wife. I was still at NBC. And I had all these other projects going on. The podcast with Sports Adjacent with Jason Leisure and Russ Dorsey. I was doing that, doing some stuff with Lawrence Holmes on House of L. I think I was producing a podcast for Stephen Bardo.
Really?
For a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah. I was working with Jason Goff on his
full go,
The Full Go.
Yeah.
In The Ringer. So I had all these projects. I'm being fulfilled professionally. Mm-hmm. Not realizing I was lacking a lot, and it really showed up and I write about this in that piece.
Yeah.
My wife, she says, "Don't give me podcast Tony." And in the middle,
I've read that a couple times. Yeah. I even read it this morning,
mm-hmm.
and I still got chills hearing that.
Yeah.
'Cause I'll get to it in a little bit. But yeah, no. How did you take it when you first heard that?
I mean, we were really going at it. I can't even remember what the argument was about, but I stopped in my tracks and realized what I was doing. I wasn't having a genuine conversation.
Mm-hmm.
I had got so mixed in with the character of Tony Gill that I had created to be a benefit to me professionally that it started to bleed into my personal life and how I interacted with real people in real life, my family, and ultimately the number one person that was going to be in my family, that I wanted to be the number one person in my family, which was my wife. And I was like, I don't want to have that relationship. I want a genuine conversation. I don't want to have an answer that radio or podcast Tony would give and not actually my thoughts and my opinions on things. And then I had to just take a step back. I took a break from everything.
Mm-hmm.
Except for NBC, I still had to work.
still had to make some money.
Right. But all the adjacent, no pun intended, podcasts and shows that I was doing, I really had to just, hey man, what are you doing? Where are the important things in your life rely. And one, it started with, I have to get back to Jesus because he is the author and finisher of my faith. Mm-hmm. Reconnect, go back, and then reconnect with the person that I want to be my wife in a real, genuine way. So I listened to Dr. John on the Ramsey podcast, and he always mentions, hey, you have to, when you're building something and it's on a rocky foundation, the relationship, you got to rebuild it and start over mm-hmm. to something that you and your partner want to create. And that's what we ended up doing.
That is kind of like a recalibrating process, right?
Yeah.
Like having to like unlearn what you've been doing.
Mm-hmm.
And then again, like you said, reprioritize things,
yeah.
right? I remember a time I went through most of my 20s. I call it being severely underemployed, like mm-hmm. as a contractor through like everything.
Yeah.
And so like personal relationships were definitely taking a back seat. And I at NBC for 4 years, I would say my work-life balance was 90% work.
Oh, yeah.
10%. Yeah, and this is no fault to, like, I just want to say no fault to our bosses. It's
right.
just like, you know, you talked about being a longtime listener of 670 The Score your entire life, right? Mm-hmm. So was I.
Yeah.
And I also watched then Comcast Sportsnet mm-hmm. all my life, too. Like, this is, again, plan A and is the only thing. There's
yep.
no plan B.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I'm here. I want to go full go, burning the candle at both ends. But what it meant when I was then meeting my wife was, putting the phone down
yeah.
was so hard to do.
Mm-hmm.
I remember in our apartment having it was a serious conversation, but because I was so used to, one, the notifications on my phone going off all the time.
Oh, yeah.
And like, she said, you just talked to me with your eyes down for this entire time. And that was like the
oh, yeah.
hitting, you know, yeah. the bricks, you know, in every regard. And I'm like, oh, man, am I really? Of course, my reaction is like, no, I'm not. But if I saw a video of it, I was like, definitely like
yeah.
my eyes are down here the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
That's also been kind of another part of this, you know, the refining of my faith and my church. We do this thing called, sorry if I'm taking over a little bit here,
but good,
we do this thing every year where you pull, they call them star words. They line mm-hmm. the church up with these words, and you're going to pull this word as a way to, this is a word you're going to keep in mind all year. And by the end of the year, see how it was important in your life
mm-hmm.
for the year. And the word I pulled was Sabbath. And when you first hear Sabbath, you think like, well, that's Sunday, right?
Correct.
Or it's day of rest.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what if I take parts of Sabbath and implement that into my work and personal life?
Mm.
Like where it's like, if I really don't need to do this thing at 9 o'clock at night or 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, I'm not going to do it.
Yeah.
If I can disconnect and choose an experience with my daughter, with my wife, with my family, I'm going to choose that first.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still going to get my work done.
Right.
And I'm still going to do the best that I can. But what, you know, how is this going to make things better for me at home? This can, like, leave the stuff at work. Again, I love my bosses here. You guys aren't driving me crazy. But we just all kind of know when you work
yeah.
really hard, it weighs on you a bit. So
yeah.
how do I lift that a little bit?
Especially for content creators.
Yeah.
That the whole point of being a content creator is to connect
yes.
with the audience. And how do I do that if I don't have the ways to connect because I'm not experiencing life myself?
Mm-hmm.
And I had to realize that if I don't have stories, if I don't live.
Well, yeah, you have to write the stories, right?
I don't have the ability to connect with the audience if I don't even know how to connect with myself and with the people that are closest to me. And that's the balance that creators need to have
mm-hmm.
in order to be the best creator that they can be.
Right. And what were some steps that you took to start doing that more? What were some things that you kind of mm-hmm. like put into practice
mm-hmm.
where you're like, let me experience this
mm-hmm.
to then tell the story after the fact?
Well, I think like I mentioned before, and I wrote in that piece that, you know, God is a creator.
Yeah.
So if I'm avoiding the ultimate creator, I'm really doing myself a disservice as a creative. So getting back to, you mentioned, you know, being able to pull scripture, I had to go back and read, man. Go back and read and then apply those things to my life.
Yeah.
In the ways that they were applicable that would benefit my life. So that was first and foremost. And then connecting with my family. I am still kind of catching up with my siblings from that time that I lost.
How many siblings do you have?
So I have three.
Okay.
So I'm the oldest, and then I have two younger brothers and my sister, who's the youngest, you know, of all of us. And they grew in those formative early, in my early 20s, they were younger, together in ways that I wasn't there. I was too focused on grinding and doing this out, which again is not bad. There is a season for that. But again, I personally took it way, way, way left, where I was looking for every shift that I can get, you know, holidays, like any of that. And, you know, thank you to my family for giving me that room and that grace to grow and learn, because I know it was, you know, there are some people that still don't think that I exist in my in my parents' friend and family group.
Oh, geez.
they think my younger brother is the eldest, and they're like, oh, wait, you do have another son.
Surprise.
Right? So, like, it's and that was all on me. So I in ways that I'm still catching up with them, I had to re-engage with them, right? Like, I didn't know what school my brothers and sisters were going to. I didn't know what career path that they were taking.
Oh, you were really locked in.
Yeah, I was super focused on one single thing, and reconnecting with them, really connecting with my now wife. It's the best relationship I've ever had.
She also works with you on this newsletter.
Yeah, she is my editor.
Yeah.
She had a minor in journalism. So she knows how I think. I think how I do this. I write how I do this.
Yeah.
A lot of run-on sentences, a lot of not periods. So she edits me. She knows what I'm trying to get to we're able to talk through some stuff on how does this come off? Does this read well? And she's able to do all of that. So, I mean, she is awesome. Love my life. So yeah, just reconnecting, just taking a hard stop and say, hey, I just need a break to reconnect and reorganize the important things in my life in the proper order so I can honor God and I can honor my family and I can be the best employee that I can be.
Well, first off, you guys as a team, a writing duo, you're great.
Yeah.
It's really good.
Yeah,
if as a reader, I want to tell you.
If anybody is looking to pick me up, she's got to come with as my editor. So.
also agent and manager. So becoming a parent then.
Yeah.
How did things change when you had that experience? Like when you first became a parent?
Again, another reorganizing.
Right, the recalibrating.
Right,
yeah.
of your life. And when my daughter was born in October, it was a very long labor. We got in actually October 24th. She wasn't born until October 26th. So it was a lot of on my wife, and to see her in that aspect of she's the strongest person that I've ever seen up close and personal. Because of the way that Anaya's birth went, that it was very scary. It was very scary. We were trying to do a natural birth, and then she ended up having to get a C-section because every time that there was a contraction, Anaya's heart rate would drop, and it kept happening. So they had to do an emergency C-section, and you know, I the way it worked out was my wife was extremely tired. She had been up for over 24 hours at that point, and once Anaya was born, she just needed to rest. So we're in the recovery room, and it's just me and Anaya, and I am crying my eyes out because this is my family. My wife is there, and my minutes old daughter is with us. And it went from all these lights and sounds and people and all these things, and now it's just us three in a very, very quiet room. And from that point on, I was like, I can never go back to that person that I was, mm-hmm. podcast Tony, quote unquote. That's gone. He's dead. Because I have to.
Yeah.
Like, this is the priority. This is through the lens that God has given me to be a creative, mm-hmm. through the lens of this family that we are creating, me and my wife are. And from that point on, I think it's made me a better creative because mm-hmm. I think more deeply on things, the impact that they have. Every word that I say, everything that I write, everything that I produce is now not just me producing it. It's God. It's these people that are pushing me to take that next step in being a creative and how I interact and what environments that I create with people when I'm on the job. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it was definitely a mind-altering experience when my daughter was born.
I will say so. I think it was last year when CHGO was hosting the, like, it was kind of like that sports
meeting. Creative community.
And you were one of the first people I saw. And mm-hmm. when we were talking, it just hit me the whole time. Like, Tony seems so happy. Mm-hmm. He seems comfortable, like, mm-hmm. in everything you were doing there. And personally, I mean, mm-hmm. I think we talked a little bit about work, but we just talked about things like personal lives because, mm-hmm. like, hey, there's good time to catch up, and that's kind of stuck with me as like because I haven't seen you since then, but like when I read you, it's like there's that Tony that I met there. Mm-hmm. It's like that very mature and very like just again comfortable in your own skin, and mm-hmm. that's like years of one experience on the jobs that you've had, but also how family has affected you at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was, when we met at that event, I had reached such a space of confidence mm-hmm. in who I was that I don't have to create another side character to be entertaining or to be, creative. Like, no, it's all in there already.
Yeah. Right.
You don't have to do all these, perform.
You can be the main character, right?
Right. And and from that point on, when I made that shift and that change, I attacked the job in that same vein. Mm-hmm. Is I don't have to point. These are my thoughts, and these are me. I am enough. I am creative and funny and entertaining enough to do the job that they're asking me to do and that I wanted to do. So, I was definitely in that space.
And in the current space you're in now, mm-hmm. I mean, it seems like you kind of have carried over that to where you are now mm-hmm. and doing more of the things that you want to do. So what are some of the things you're doing right now?
Yeah. Yeah. So funny, I saw a meme that the job market is forcing me to actually live out my dreams.
That's really good.
I mean, I love my time at CHGO. They gave me an opportunity to be I was head of content. I had my hands in a little bit of everything, social, written, and obviously the priority, the daily shows.
I guess what was that day? I'll take a step back here. Mm-hmm. What was that day to day like?
One, it was the ultimate dream of like, okay, how do I'm so used to being hands-on on the content. Mm-hmm. This was like really the first time that I'm not necessarily hands-on on day-to-day, but my influence can still be felt with how I engaged with the hosts and the producers and the writers and social media managers with my vision of what I think great sports content, is. Mm-hmm. And I had a year plus to be able to do that. And we did a lot of fun and great things. But I think my focus was, okay, how do I get the most out of these people? How do I create the environments where they feel happy and comfortable enough to create, right? I'm not on a daily show, but my influence is through them.
You kind of get to be the coach in that regard, right? Or general manager if you want to look at it from that way, right?
And it was a fun time being in those meetings, talking to those artists, right? They're just as, I would say, even more so creative than me, because they were just so talented. Mm-hmm. They were so talented, and on social and written wise and on live on air, that as I was, you know, managing them, mm-hmm. they were feeding me as well. Like, just things that if you stop learning and stop growing, you're essentially you're going to be dead in this business. So it was easy to do that there just because it was so many opportunities to grow and learn. So, yeah, I loved it there.
I mean, I love following their stuff, too. They do incredible work. But now here we are at the, you know, still doing the content creation.
Yeah.
And
trying.
and but also you're doing some collaborating, too.
Yeah.
So let's talk about that.
Yeah. So, you know, with this opportunity that I have where I can really pick and choose. Yeah. Which is a fun way to say that.
that is really fun to say, actually.
Something longstanding, but I get to work with my friend.
Yeah.
And going back to Robert Morris, I met Andrew Heppner, Ando, freshman year of college, and we just never just kind of departed. We've always stayed connected through the years of our growth as people and our career grows. Mm-hmm. He went to he started out in music and then went to fashion, and then cool. I went from computer networking to, you know, all the stuff that
sports.
I did, right?
Yeah.
But we always stay connected. I've always supported his release drops. I'm currently wearing one of his brands. Double
that's a
gold.
Legit. That's a legit hat, right?
Yeah,
there.
Yeah. It's fire. I had to get you one, man.
I'll buy it. Don't worry.
Yeah. He's he's a top tier creative, in my opinion. The way that he meshes things that seemingly don't combine well, mm-hmm. but through his vision, he creates it, and it looks beautiful when he's done with it. And him and Vic Lloyd. Vic Lloyd has been a longstanding influencer in Chicago streetwear music, with Leaders and all that, and working on some projects with them with Free Agent. It started out with a collab that I wanted to create for CHGO. I wrote about that. You know, fortunately, yep. I wasn't able to see that all the way through, but connecting the two pieces, pitching the idea, working on the graphics, it started from there. And then he was like, "Hey, man, let's finally do something together." Yeah. And that's just kind of where we're at. So
that's very cool. Yeah. And how can people kind of find some of this stuff? And also,
yeah. So you know, the newsletter, it's in all of my bios on social media. Yep. It's called Bleacher Theology. You can just email, sign up with your email, put it in there, and then you'll be getting one a week or every other week.
How do you like that process, the newsletter process?
I've learned to enjoy it.
Yeah. Learn to enjoy it.
Yeah.
At first,
yeah.
It's probably a little tedious,
yeah,
right?
It's I want these to be meaningful.
Yeah.
So I don't want to just have things just to put something out. Like, when you get that email, mm-hmm. I want it to be something that you truly, okay, I got 5 minutes or 7 minutes. I'd sit down and scroll through it. And it's really the whole of me, right? I mm-hmm. love sports. I love my faith. And also here, I enjoy a good joke.
Yeah, I love those.
Because, you know, my thing in today's climate, to a certain degree, the Christian gets a really bad rap. And I get it, right? There's a lot of things that happen in the world. But I want people to see from a person that is, and I don't get it right every time. A person that is genuinely following Jesus, we have senses of humor. We can joke.
Yeah.
We're not serious all the time. So this newsletter is that. Mm-hmm. I enjoy music. I like hip hop. I like art. I want to show through that newsletter the entirety of my personality.
Yeah.
And I think it shows that in the different aspects of not just the main subject line, but also the subheadings that mm-hmm. I still have sports thoughts.
Yep.
And sometimes they can get up there. Like, I was calling for AK's job on the first, right? So, like, I'm still can get hot take Tony out of there.
Yeah.
But yeah,
that's, or as that's Lawrence calls it, get the driver out, right?
Right, right. Yeah. Sometimes you do have to get the driver out. So, so that's what the newsletter is. If you want to sign up, yeah, you won't be disappointed. It's an easy read. Because I get it. My attention span is really, really short. So I make sure that you get the most out of it, but it doesn't require you to, you know.
It's a really cool way to connect. Yeah. Like, connect with people and building community. Last thing, I know we thank you for hanging with me this long.
Man,
it's felt too easy on my end, so thank you for being you. But advice you have for someone who is either just getting started in the business or is looking to do what you do, what advice would you have for that person?
Oh, man. I think what I wish somebody told me when I started was there is room to enjoy what you do, but also don't let it take over your life.
Yeah.
And I know we're in a dog eat dog world, that if you aren't working, somebody else is. And the fear, there's no disrespect to, you know, the score, but I still sometimes have nightmares of waking up and thinking I missed a break, or I miss something in the morning and waiting for an email to say, hey, you missed this break.
To that point, real quick, whenever I meet someone that works in social media, I say, do you get the phantom vibrate from your phone? And phone will be on a table somewhere, and my leg will still vibrate from NBC Sports Days. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Oh, man. Like, my wife's like, are you okay? I'm like, yeah, I'm good. I'm good.
As you're holding your head. For me, it's like, have you been rubbing your head? Yes, I've been rubbing my head a lot. Sorry.
Hey, don't let this take over. This isn't your identity.
Yeah.
As much as you want to be good and great at this, this isn't everything. Because it took me a while to figure that out. And there are nobody's hand holding you. You know, nobody's forcing you to do anything. This is something that I wanted to do and achieve. But if nobody else tells you, because everybody just wants the work, that in order to be the creative that you seek to be, you need to experience life as well. So you can have those stories, so you can have those connecting points. Go see a movie, watch your favorite television show, consume it, not just so, wait, I have to talk about this. Enjoy sports, enjoy the things that made you want to be in the space in the first place, because that is going to propel you, further and further in your career. And that's how you stay grounded and connected, because this whole business is about connecting with people.
Yep.
In varying ways, no matter how written, talking, visually, with video, all of it is about connecting with people. And once you are able to have that balance, you're able to put on a great show, you're able to perform extremely well, and you're able to have a unique perspective.
That, you nailed it. I know I say that a lot during this conversation, but you do. It's really, really cool. Thank you for doing this, Tony. I'm going to include links to your social and newsletter and everything in our show notes. So check that out on WGNRadio.com. And we're going to be trying to do this weekly. Before we were with our old friends, Career Vision, we were doing it on a monthly basis. We'll be trying to do this on a weekly basis. So subscribe if you don't already to where you get your podcasts, Apple, Spotify, all that good stuff. And until next time, I'm Mike Piff.